So welcome to another audio-only episode of
Twin Appropriate Behavior.
If you can tell the difference, this is Simon.
And this is Mark, and you're a liar.
Exactly.
So I'll be the crispy-licious one.
I'll be the juicy-licious one.
Thanks, Jollibee.
So hint, hint, we're eating Jollibees at the moment. And we decided to talk about this topic because of the fact that we went to go get Jollibee in the premise of saving money, but like, to make
how
the
much
most.
Impact can we make with the lowest amount of money?
Because exactly,
it's not
right?
just us we're feeding, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to feed my nephews too because they're out, but I know by the time we're done with this, they're gonna probably come home and they're probably gonna be hungry.
Yeah, right. And so we want to talk a bit about frugality and kind of the things that our parents and relatives have done.
Yeah, and we want to talk about a little bit of, you know, value is supposed to perceive value as, you know, what's
totally.
Really real here. What's useful? What's not? What's meaningful? What's not?
Yeah. So, you know, let's engage in this chicken and rice and, of course, the gravy.
Mm-hmm. And I got myself one pie for only me.
You bastard. You didn't even show me that till like now, literally.
I did ask.
You did. Ooh, can you pass me the gravy over there?
Oh, yeah, sure. Huh.
So while he's doing that, just so you know, what are we eating today, right? We're eating Jollibee fried chicken, and we wanted a fun but cheap way to eat, and that was it. So,
right, I can feed two of us for less than $8 a person.
Yeah, so there's like, there's also
four
extra
of us.
Chicken,
yeah, so there's going to be four of us, and so what? I can't do the math. That's like less than $7 a person.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We made rice, right? So we pulled the old adage, don't buy such and such. We have such and such at home. And that's what led to this episode.
Right.
Right. So it's like frugality. I know this, it's not just exclusive to the Filipino side of things, but you know, the kind of things that we would see as kids and some things that maybe have been passed down to us, you know, things of that nature. And it's like, where do we draw the line?
Right. But so, yeah, it's just one of those things that we've only been familiar with because that was our world, right? We don't necessarily need it. We weren't needy kids, but I don't know why my brain is not working after eating. what I'm trying to say is, let me start that over. I mean, all that said, we never were left wanting, right? And if there was things that we couldn't have, we did have a discussion, right? There were certain things that we just couldn't afford or whatever. And, you know, that's nobody's fault. That's just the situation we had, right?
But also, we were also encouraged to save our money.
All the time.
Yeah, but...
But not invest.
Yes.
Unless it's a 401k or whatever, but never beyond that, right?
That ties to like the, you know, you should have a job, just this and that, a pension, you know, the old school mentality.
Right.
But, you know, it's just... Frugality has always been a thing because, I mean, when we put ourselves in our parents' shoes, right? The Philippines, you know, they didn't live in a lavish life, right? From what we know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to make ends meet. They had to find ways to be creative in how they ate. So, you know, I think, one thing, the most common thing that we tend to see is something as simple as saving the plastic bags, right? And here in LA, you have to pay for them now, which is fine. I still do. You know, I'm grateful that I can afford to do that 10 cents a bag. But, you know, some people clamor over that. But most of the time, that's usually becomes trash liners, right? I don't have to buy trash bags. I can use that and I keep some in my car or whatever.
Or baon bags, right?
Baon bags.
Throw it in there or something you can throw your shoes in when you're packing. There's so many things. I mean, tell me you're frugal without being frugal, right? Tell me you're frugal without saying you're frugal. I'm like, yeah, I put my shoes in there when I travel. I'll... Maybe put like a water bottle in there if it feels a little sus when I put it in my bag, you know, stuff like that. But I never really purposely tried to keep the bags, I guess. I would find a use for them. Does that make sense? Just to like, well, since I have it, I should use it. Not in a hoarding way, but that's a whole other episode.
Oh, yeah. it kind of ties into it, right? But it's like there's certain value that, you know, just for the sake of conversation, context, Filipinos hold, you know, like our parents and stuff. That's what I, if you're wondering what I mean by Filipinos, that's what I'm referring to. those out there listening. Now, you know, there, you know, the next thing is, okay, that's fine. Saving the bags, there's purpose to that. But what about things like getting a shit ton of napkins just to have them?
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna lie, very useful.
Right. I mean, just on the Jollibee app, they had to ask you how many napkins you wanted. You bet your shit I maxed it out.
Yeah. You know, I used to joke, it's like, how many ketchup do you want? I said, as many as you can legally give me.
Oh, I say that all the time. Or I just tell them to just pretend you're a claw machine and grab as much as you can.
Yeah. You know, and do we use it? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, not, I don't think it's for us, you know, us living here and kind of the means that we have growing up here versus the Philippines, that it's kind of a luxury though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
We don't do it because we have to. We do it because we got used to it.
Right. It was also something we were just around all the time, right? Just doing that.
Like all these napkins, you get extras and all these extra condiments or, you know, if you, it's just extra chopsticks, stuff like that.
Let me level that one up. My favorite is when Nanai would bring Ziploc bags to the buffet. Remember that? That was my favorite. And she would always make it a point to get things that would travel best. So she'd always grab extra cookies, extra candy. But my favorite thing that she would do is, she did this especially for our sister, but it was really for everybody, but it was especially for our sister because she loved gummy bears, especially at that time. we would go to, like, let's say like a Las Vegas buffet somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she would find the dessert area. And you know, there's toppings like M&Ms and blah, blah, blah. That lady's like, I don't give a fuck. She filled that bag till you couldn't even close it.
She wasn't slick about it either. She just went for it, right? But like, who's going to, you know, back then, who's going to tackle a little old lady just trying to get gummy bears?
Yeah.
It's not like she's taking like lobster tails out.
And then and then recently we went to a buffet and one of my aunties actually brought multiple bags. Mm-hmm. And I had brought it up and then I was like, yeah, no, definitely you're her daughter. And of course we filled it with buchi. We filled it with I think some cookies and we're like, whatever, let's do it. And I'm not quite sure, but I feel like they also took some meat from the Mongolian grill area.
Oh, that's gangster.
That is gangster. Like, oh, why didn't I think of that? We could have had our own Korean barbecue at home.
Yeah. You know, I mean, one thing that I just thought of here is that my mother-in-law, you know, they go to a lot of hotels, casinos and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't always use the little plastic cups that they give you for water or whatever. So she collects a whole bunch of them. Or like the ones you use to, you know, to rinse your mouth after you brush your teeth, those kind of cups.
Oh, like the toiletry stuff that's there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But specifically the cups. So she collects a whole bunch of them. And, you know, we were having a house party. She goes, oh, you want plastic cups? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. That's helpful. I get a pile.
And they're individually wrapped, aren't they? Oh, my God.
You know, and you know, we're not saying all this to make fun of it. I think the whole premise and the whole context behind this episode is to kind of go behind the scenes as to why.
Right. You know, there's always a reason to it. And it's not like for anyone who's really thinking rationally, it's not.
It's the chicken.
I keep burping. For anyone who's really thinking about it, there's a reason. Like we know we're going to use this, right? We're not going to. Yeah, it's going to save us a couple bucks here and there. And for me, honestly, it's more of a novelty to do it. Mm-hmm. But it's also the same thing. If you're going to be the same person who's going to talk shit about that, but then even though your drink is full, before you leave the fast food restaurant, you fill it up to the brim, take a sip, and then you fill it up again, and then close it and then leave. So everyone has done this to some extent, especially around here in the U.S.
No, and that's a fact, right? Because I think it was just, again, going back to the upbringing and what we're used to. I'm sorry, there was chicken. Delicious, delicious.
Wait, speaking of chicken, let me just show you how crunchy it is.
Go ahead. I can do it.
ASMR. I'm chick enjoying this.
But no, I mean, I was literally thinking about it as you were saying it with the soda thing.
Right, right.
I do this all the time where I go to a restaurant, you know, fast food place, whatever. And so what ends up happening is that I will finish my drink, get my refills along the way, but when we're done, I still, you know, I finish my drink maybe halfway or so, and I still fill it up before we leave. I'm not on a road trip. I'm just going to go home. But I do. I mean, I do that especially on road trips because, you know, it's nice to have a drink while you're driving.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I
mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's days where I'll have a cup in my car and I leave it there. And like the next day, like, oh, crap, I forgot about this. Right?
Okay.
Which kind of beats the premise because the concept here, right? One of the concepts that I believe is behind all this is we want to be resourceful. We don't want to waste anything.
Right. I absolutely agree with that. That's true. I actually didn't even think about that. Mm. Being resourceful, right?
Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to waste the extra ketchup that we get or the napkins that we can get, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, but also, even if we did have to quote unquote waste it, it's because we've had it so long, or you know, there's like one or two left, and they're probably bad. But
yeah,
you know, but we don't. In essence, we don't really waste it. We actually really use everything.
But we replenish that shit right away.
Oh no! Oh shit! But like, I mean, Dad, like as you was like when you talk about the soda thing, Dad does that all the time, and I do it right behind him.
I do it too.
All the time.
My kids do it. Well, no, my kids. Sometimes they don't. They're like, nah, I don't need it. They toss it. Right. I'm trying to get better. If I don't need it, I shouldn't have it.
Yeah, but Dad keeps it in the fridge and then he drinks it for the next day. He tends to get something that's not carbonated and he'll save it. Well, sometimes it's soda, but most of the time he'll save it and he does drink it. Sometimes he'll steal it.
Yeah, the best thing. He drinks it, right?
Right.
It's not like me where I do it just to do it
mm-hmm.
because I'm so accustomed to it.
Got it.
I'm sure there's people out there that do this.
Like automatically.
Yeah, it's like, so in your mind's like, I don't want to be waste, right? But this also kind of ties in, like, speaking of eating, finish all your food,
mm-hmm.
right? But in reality, it's like, if we're force-feeding ourselves, that's really unhealthy.
Oh, I mean, I have, with a full mouth, yes, I'm saying, I agree.
So gross. But, you know, again, that's kind of the product of our upbringing, right? It's kind of bringing guilt back into the picture, which is a common theme across a lot of, you know, Asian households.
Mm-hmm.
What is my dog staring at?
I don't know.
That's okay. They're not back yet. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Oh.
Well, my kids are back.
That was interesting.
Now they're excited because they see the Jollibee chicken.
Yeah, I got some chicken for us.
So I think I guess what it boils down to is, again, resourcefulness and making use out of the product and even the money, right? We want our money to stretch because, I mean, we have to empathize with our parents because they had to do that.
I mean, we're struggling too, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
We have our own financial, challenges, mm-hmm. and so we gotta figure that out, right?
Yeah, it's a different struggle, right? But it's not. I mean, you know, I got loans, I got this and that, but saving plastic bags is not gonna save me from financial burden.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's not like a make and break, but it's just. I think it's more of a matter of convenience because mm-hmm. sometimes you're like, do I really need to buy a whole bottle of ketchup if I have some of this at home? And,
yeah.
you know, if you're not going to use it that often,
yeah.
but it's often enough that you use the packets. I mean, it makes sense, right? Yeah.
I mean, there's ways around it. And again, I think it's just a matter of how the struggle is perceived, right? Like, you know, not to pick on these scavengers, but, you know, they scavenge for cans. They scavenge for, because that's a way to them, it's a free source of income.
Right. It's
but when you do the math, it just doesn't make sense to do it.
Right.
Right. I mean, granted, if that's your only thing, I get it.
Yeah. But like, you would have to be doing that for like 12 hours straight doing that kind of
but
stuff.
But where's that mentality come from? Like,
right.
I'm going to make the most. I don't want this to be wasted because I can get money from this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And again, it's going back to wasteful, wasteful or whatever, because, you know, we're always forced to eat all our food. Simot, you know, mm-hmm. always about the simot. Right, where if you don't know what that is, it's literally scrape every grain of rice of food and eat it all.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because you know, you guys don't understand. You know, we were starving. We were kids. You should be grateful. Like, no, it's not that I'm not grateful for the food that I have here, but I've put on more than I can eat. And right. If I can't eat it later, I have to get rid of it.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, it's just a matter of, where's that line? Where's that balance?
Yeah, but also, I mean, I've seen some relatives keep food till it's spoiled and they're still trying to eat and cook it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And just to the point where, get rid of it because mm-hmm. it's not going to be worth the health risk. But no, I don't know. Sometimes they don't equate that and I don't understand why.
Mm-hmm. But let's kind of take it to the other side of the coin here, right? Like, like services, for example.
Okay.
I every so often we have folks that come in and clean the house, you know, just because it helps, right? It costs a bit of money, but it's worth it. The value, you know, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But the older mentality is like, why pay someone to do it when you could do it yourself? Like, that's true. Yeah, it's cheaper. But
what is your time worth?
Exactly. That's the thing, right? It's not a matter of time. It's a matter of money. To them, they value money over time, which is a big mistake.
Right. As a business owner, like, my time, I feel like, is the most valuable, right?
Yeah, I can't get time back.
Right. We can make money. You can't make time.
Yeah.
You can only space out your time. You can't create it. Time cannot be created. It can only be, I guess, sparsed out.
Yeah. 100%. Right? I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I put it on my kids. I mean, my wife comes like, you know how much we spend on your freaking tuition? I say that all the time. But at the same time, well, I say chew. what we really mean is that we're spending a lot of money for you to spend time in that school. We want you to spend the best time possible.
Yeah, enjoy it, make the most of it, learn some stuff, you know, make some friends along the way, because I feel like that's the most valuable part of school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we still have friends from, what, grade school?
We were just talking about it outside the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, people that we're still friends with, very close with. They're close to my family, not just myself and my wife, but the kids too.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, actually, as a matter of fact, my kids are in studio right now eating along with us.
And by studio, we mean the kitchen dinner table.
Yeah, the kitchen dinner table.
With the big old Jollibee bucket in the middle.
They're having a good ass time. Right,
and two big old things of gravy, and they're quiet. So, you know, they're quiet because they're chowing.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got the extra chicken because you were right. I was like, well, if the boys are going to be home.
Yeah. You guys would be here this early, but it's okay.
We weren't expecting you guys for another couple of hours.
Yeah. But like,
but whatever, the chicken was for you guys anyway.
But again, right? But that's the, I think, going back to the whole concept of value, right?
Mm-hmm.
For us, you spent, we'll say, $8 more to feed two more people, right?
That's a deal.
And that's a deal, right? And that makes sense. But in the old kind of mentality, it's like, why are you going to spend that $8?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But also in the same vein of things, we could have bought rice,
mm-hmm.
but of course I made rice, right? Because it's cheaper, right? And sometimes we want more rice than what we had before, right? Or mm-hmm. you know, I put in the fridge and have it for the next day,
right?
Right. So I think there's benefit to being frugal in that sense where. Yeah, we can be cheap, right? We can get those napkins. I saw that, Matthew. Don't try to steal your uncle's pie.
I specifically got only one pie for myself.
Yeah, we killed a bucket already? Hell yeah.
Good. Yeah, I know. I got my fill.
So. I got my fill too. I might just get more rice later.
Yeah, cool, go. Finish that.
Okay. Go. Y'all went hammer on that, dude.
I should have got more.
No.
I feel like this is just enough.
No, it's just enough. I mean, we don't need any. No, dude, I still have leftovers from like...
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. No.
Well, I'm glad we all got to eat.
Mm-hmm. So sorry, I went off track here, right? We're talking about value of time, right?
Yeah.
Because if you know, there's a lot of like people of our parents' generation. They kind of look down on service workers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They go, you know, I can do it myself. I don't need to pay you to go through all my shit,
right?
But for us,
again, but also, do they actually do it? Maybe not.
That's
not
the thing,
with the same
right?
urgency.
Yeah,
they'll do it. Maybe not with the same urgency.
Yeah.
And again, that's just time.
And efficiency.
Right. It's time.
And it's just, I'd rather pay someone for my own convenience because I can, what I spent in money, I gain in time.
Right. And of course, this is all with the assumption that we're within our means spending, correct?
Of course. You're not going beyond it. Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of the same thing where time, energy, you can't really put too much of a monetary value on it, right? Because you mm-hmm. have to put the value of you.
Yeah.
So, for example, I would rather pay a little extra for a nicer seat on a plane if the flight's long, you know, mm-hmm. or VIP parking if I can afford it. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to walk 3 miles or whatever to the venue.
Right.
You know, it's really, again, it's a matter of value. It's not a matter of flexing. It's not a matter of anything else really but convenience and time, mm-hmm. right? And for me, if I can spend a little more and save a lot in energy and time, I'm in. Mm-hmm. Absolutely in.
But there's always exceptions to this, right?
Oh, yeah. This is not a hard rule, but no. In general, especially if we all find value in different things.
Like, for instance, right? Uber Eats.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
You know, first of all, tipping culture, that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other monster we don't need to deal with.
Oh, no. I have a lot of thoughts on that shit, but we'll talk about that another
time. That's a different thing. But really, what I want to point out is that, yes, you are paying for convenience, but if you're going to pay 2.5 times the cost, is that really worth it?
Right. Better, unless you're sick or you're unable to leave the house or whatever. Otherwise, that shit will just add up. Once in a while, okay, fine. It's like, you know what? I'm going to stay in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once in a while, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But habitually, I personally don't feel like that's responsible.
It isn't. It's convenient.
Oh, absolutely. But also, if you can afford it, fucking fine, whatever. But most of us don't live like that.
Mm-hmm. But like, you know what also kind of works out? And I think frugality has to, you know, it's a matter of establishing value. Like HelloFresh is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
You want to sponsor us, HelloFresh? That's fine.
Let's take a break right here to allow HelloFresh to give us an ad space. All right, had your chance, enough. Uber Eats.
So, what I was saying with Noah's
HelloFresh. Fuck Uber Eats.
Right, it's kind of like meal prepping, right? Where if you think about the cost of the food that comes in, now assuming that you have the consistency to make that on a regular basis,
right,
it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like getting Jack in a Box at 10 in the evening,
which is also delicious.
Well, yeah, it is. But are you going to pay $40 for a $10 meal?
Not if I can drive there my damn self and use the app and get 20% off.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, that's the other side of frugality, right? Working the system.
Yes.
Right. Where
Couponing
and
discounts.
Haggling.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when you really think about parents that, you know, remember the old list, your Filipino, if your parents like haggle at the department store.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's a lot of truth to that because let's think about where that comes from. Right, they don't always have that retail space because they'll have that marketplace where they go to the Palenque or they go to Turo Turo and they say, oh, yo, this guy over here just down the street is like 10 pesos less. I'm just going to go to that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that was their way of life. For us, it's like, it's a given. Right? It's a given to just be like, that's the price you pay. If you don't like it, get the hell out of here.
Right. A lot of places like that in Asia are like that, right? Mm-hmm. You're encouraged to engage in that negotiation. Mm-hmm. It's part of the experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also there's a proper etiquette to that, right?
Yeah.
You can't like lowball and be a dick, but also, yeah, you want to save money, but you also have to remember they need to make money. This is their living.
Mm-hmm.
So there's gotta be some reason when you do negotiation. Don't do it just to be a dick.
Well, side story. So.
Oh, I know where this is going. Go ahead.
Yeah. So as a former car salesman, right? I was in Cancun with the missus and we found those little sombreros that had like a, you know, hand-painted Dodgers logo, right?
Still really cute. I love those hats.
I know. And I had to get rid of them because they died.
Oh, no.
So long ago. But anyway, I was like, babe, I'm going to negotiate the hell out of this. I'm gonna grind it down to, you know, what I can get. And what they were doing was, I forgot how much it was. $40 a hat, right? And they're like, nah, you know, I'm going to get two. I need two specific ones. And I go, he kept harassing me. He's like, you want to buy it? Like, you know, he kept following me. He's like, all right, if you're going to badger me, congratulations.
Oh, that's well deserved then.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, can you get two Dodger ones for me? He's like, yeah. You know how much? Oh, well, 40 each. I'm like, 40 each, bro. Like I was just going to look to buy one, but let me tell you what. I'm going to just tell you right here, right now, you will get a guaranteed $35 from me if you get me two Dodger ones right now. And if you don't, and if you say no, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to live without it. Right? So he kind of laughs and he goes, you know what? That's okay. Da, da, da. Okay. Walks away. And I start having dinner, you know, actually a late lunch with Eileen, and I see the guy on the beach. He's just walking. He's struggling. And he's like, come here. He's like, I'll give you two for 60. I'm like, no. I like two for 35 right now, and that's it. Because if you can't do that, Just tell me you can't. It's okay. You can make money. You can make money on other people.
Yeah, that's a fair. That's yeah.
I wasn't being
fair.
A dick, but right, I was. Right. You know,
you were laying out the situation here.
Yeah, I was being firm about it. So, you know, long story short, he calls me over and he says, "I only have one." I go, "Can you get the other one? I saw another one have it." He chased him down. I gave him $40 instead, you know, and say, "Hey, you know, $5, extra $5 tip, right?" And I got two hats and I walked back with two Dodger sombreros. Like, babe, I got 2 for $40.
Oh, she must have been thrilled. Oh,
we were hella excited over it because it was.
I remember seeing you guys after that trip, and you both were wearing the damn hat.
It's just the thrill of the game, and like kind of going back to the concept of negotiations, right? I mean, our parents had to do that for survival. Shit, I did it for fun,
right?
Which is basically privilege, right? I'll say that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll recognize that. Yeah, right. But like. You know, to have that skill set. I mean, now when I purchase cars, you know, I do my research and everything like that. You know, I'm. By the way, if y'all looking for a car, let me know. I can help you guys out with the process, stuff like that. Matthew, share the gravy for Christ's sake.
I gave it to him. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm just making him eat the rest of it.
You're making Mark. We just talked about this.
Well, that's why I poured the rest of it in there.
You just
on your plate. I'm a good uncle. God damn it!
There's starving children in the Philippines.
Yeah, they need this nutritious gravy.
Yeah.
Oh, what was it, street good. Dogs?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, those are so good.
So, we got it down to 5. You got that? So, see, my son is just telling me he negotiated. So, those who have been in LA for long enough know about the dirty dog.
Right?
Right. And usually we don't negotiate stuff like that.
Yeah, because you're like, it's a fair price. Fine. It's cool. No problem. Just eat it. I want to.
No, this be real. It's not a fair price. $10 for that shit?
Well, it depends on where you go. Some of them are pretty cheap.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. One was like, he asked 8. And I was like, dude, there's something
there
for like 5.
Haha, win. I'll take 9, sir. All wrapped with your like, finest bacon.
Like, nah, dude, we're just gonna. And did you walk? Huh? Did you walk away?
No.
Or did you threaten that you're gonna walk away at least?
Yeah.
That's the best part.
We're gonna go, yeah.
So, so pro tip, even though we're talking about frugality here, best negotiation tool,
walk the fuck away. Yeah.
Walk away. People forget that. But anyway, I digress.
Also silence. Because sometimes they'll get so uncomfortable, they'll feel the silence.
Yes. So one thing that they taught us in sales, again, side story, where, you know, the first two talks loses.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, man. There were some days where I would just like scribble on my paper. I'm like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Not because I'm trying to be a dick. I'm trying to get information out of them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that's what negotiation is all about.
Right.
Right. But like the whole Filipino, I can get this cheaper. Like, they're just flat out lying.
Oh, yeah.
But again, it's a means of survival, right? And I think at the end of the day, right, I think we talked about that to talk about this, is that it's a window of, like, the lifestyle for them.
Yeah.
It's a window of what they had to go. It's a window of struggle, right?
Right. It's like a little slice of life of what they experienced.
It's not pretty.
No. And it's also not intentional.
No. Oh, that's a perfect point. It's not intentional. Yeah. Right. But we were so accustomed to it that we are starting to do it. And so it makes me wonder, like, you know, what do my kids do?
Mm.
Right. Like, or what do they don't do? Right. Oh, they don't need the refill. So they just toss the cup away. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie. The very first time I saw them, I'm like, oh, it's a wasted. And I'm like, why the fuck am I thinking?
That was such a visceral reaction.
Like, yeah. I was like, what in the hell?
Wasting money.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasting money.
And I think it teaches us a valuable lesson, right? At the end of the day, we have to
valuable.
Yeah, you see what I did there. It's about being educated in the fact that how does this work, right? Like, something as simple as the McDonald's app, right? You can have coupons, you can have deals, you collect points, and you can redeem that.
Or you have Jack in a Box where you hope you get enough strikeouts to get a free burger.
Yeah, you know? Thank you, Dodgers, for doing that. Right? It's just those little things that you have to be aware of. And when you know your surroundings, you know what it is. Like, it's like couponing. There's people out there, like extreme couponers.
They're pros, yeah.
You know, and they work the system. And I think that's something to be had. And I think it still boils down to shut up, Sarah, I love you. It still boils down to frugality.
Yeah.
Right? And just survival. and making the most out of the money that we have, because we don't want to be wasteful in any means at right. all, whether it's the food that we eat, the clothes that we buy. Like, I am notorious for keeping my clothes until they're just absolutely just thrashed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I like new clothes and stuff like that, but I'm like the last person to go out and buy something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whereas like my kids, like, oh, it's a new school year, new pants, new shoes for the school year and stuff like that. Because
new set of shirts for the week. Mm-hmm. For them. And yeah.
Because like in my line of work, I don't really need it as much.
Oh yeah, you work from home.
I work from home, right? And you know, Eileen, she's a nurse, so scrubs, right? So she doesn't have to have all these crazy business outfits and stuff like that. She can have a rotation of something simple and straightforward.
You know how many suits I have that I'm not wearing anymore?
Same. When I was working at the bank, I had suits. I have all kinds of great stuff.
So, I mean, I have some suits with the tags still on them.
Yeah.
And since they were tailored and stuff, there's really nothing I can do with them until, I mean, I can't say I never needed a suit. So I do have a few that I can actually just pull out and use, but the reasons and occasions are kind of rare and far between.
Yeah, but you know, isn't that kind of in its own way wasteful?
That was going to be my point. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't need this. I can live with maybe two suits, one for concert choir, one for mm-hmm. events, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want the colors.
Yeah. Right. It's again, it's value. Do we need this and stuff? And you know, I think we never really learned that as kids because it was just no.
Right.
No reason why. It was just no. It's right. too expensive. Like, okay.
And we didn't really understand the context of what expensive was. We didn't work for the money.
Yeah,
we didn't, you know.
Exactly. We didn't.
But we also never felt poor.
No.
You know?
No, not at all. You know, well, there's some lunches that we had back in the day. I'm like, this is all we have is literally bread and cheese, bro.
Some people didn't have that.
Yeah.
To be quite honest. And it's funny because I never. Maybe you did, but I never thought that way. I always look at the lunch and I was like, I was either displeased with what it was or I was like, hell yeah, this is going to be the greatest lunch ever today. And I never thought about the cost. I never thought about
Yeah. You know what? That's the right context to take. Yeah. Especially when we were kids, right? Yeah.
I was more displeased with like, oh, not this one again. Mm-hmm. Not like, ew, we're poor. This is gross. Because really, we weren't that poor.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't well off, but we were doing okay.
Yeah.
Like really, if you look at it. And like I said, they never left us wanting for anything.
Mm-mm. That's just a weird thing because, you know, I think before this podcast, I never really thought about it as much.
Mm.
As it's like, I literally like, I can see it right now. That one cabinet is just so chock full of plastic bags.
Oh yeah.
But I use them.
It's literally leaking out.
Yeah.
But every time I come over and I like, bring food home or mm-hmm. if I need, like, let's say we were at the beach and my clothes are still gross.
Mm-hmm.
Eileen literally just, she's like, oh, okay, cool. Or she goes, you know where to get them.
Yeah. I think we have to figure, you know, what's wasteful, what's useful, right?
Right. But I feel like that's also a moving target.
Yeah. That's
well,
the trouble.
Not for everything, but it can be a moving target. Like for me to get rid of all my suits and all right, what if I have like some random client that, mm-hmm. demands some sort of formality,
mm-hmm.
then what? I was like, and then I'm going to Zara getting a suit. Then I got to, you know what I mean? Doing all this other shit when I already had it and it was already fitted and done all that stuff because really, maybe I'm not wearing the suit every day, but I know I'm going to use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also there is a fine line, right?
Yes.
I can't say the same thing about the suit 20 years from now and say, oh, I haven't worn it, but I might use it, which is, I feel like a lot of older generations doing that. I mean, mm-hmm. no tea, no shade, but if you're going to go to like a Filipino house, every corner is filled with something,
mm-hmm.
right? And whether it's useful or not, it's just the way it is. And so I feel like for us in the reverse, like I like things a little more minimal or at least a lot of storage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with an organized kind of mess. I'm an organized mess kind of guy, sure. Mm-hmm. But if I know there's no need for something, it's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make room for something else. The way I say it, it's like we got to make room for growth, right?
Yeah.
We're so used to in all this crap.
Oh, yeah. We're so used to, well, you never know. No one needs a VCR anymore.
You also didn't need that plank or whatever that's in the garage.
Yeah.
When you moved here.
Or the manual for a calculator that's 35 years old.
Right.
So it's just those things that you know, again, where do we draw that line?
Right.
Right. I mean, like one thing that I still see, I'm not keeping it because, you know, you never know. Remember that shirt that we got from Electronic Boutique, the Atari Jaguar shirt?
Oh my God. Yeah.
My boys wear it. That thing is
old. Yo, you yeah. still have that.
Matthew wears it all the time, right?
Does it say what brand shirt it is?
Gildan, I remember.
Interesting. Okay, that's mm-hmm. that's interesting to know that like a Gildan can last that's that a, long.
We got, and just to give you some context, we got it when we were 8 years old. So if you know how old we are, that thing is a fucking old shirt.
Look up Atari Jaguar, and then you'll kind of figure out the timeline.
Yeah. That year it was released is when we got that shirt.
I don't even remember how we got it.
It was a promo and we're like, hey, cool. And he was like giving out shirts and stuff.
They were just giving it out. We didn't do anything.
Yeah, right? We didn't do anything for it. It's like, I can only give you one. Like, that's fine. Right? Because he saw we were twins. He's like, you know.
Yeah, he gave me one too.
Yeah, and he's yeah. like, yeah. He actually, he's like, I'm going to give you one. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. It's like, okay, well, I'll give you guys both, but you have to put it on now. And, you know.
That's
you
right. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's right. And we're like, okay.
All right, cool. I'll see you later. And so, of course, our parents are like, where'd you get that? Right? So this kind of turns into another story. Mm. Or another concept I want to talk about, like when we get free stuff, mm-hmm. right? Or when we find stuff on the street, mm-hmm. like that kind of leads, like there's a fine line between frugality and just plain hoarding.
Right.
Oh, right. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll find something like this. I mean, sure, you find $5 on the floor, whatever.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's cool. But, you know, you find, you know, an old DVD player. It works. It says free outside the person's house. You're going to take it? No.
That's the true value of it. Zero.
Exactly. Right. And but like, it reminds me of when, not just my parents, just like that generation, our aunties and uncles, they would buy something because it's cheap.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, as a real life example, you know, I got this Rolex for, you know, X amount of dollars, and it was supposed to be Y amount of dollars, but like you spent that much money.
Right. You didn't save.
You didn't save so-and-so. Money.
You still spent a comma on this.
You still spent a comma on it and something you don't really need.
Right.
Right. And that's not an opportunity to buy. Right. That's why sometimes it's so funny to me when you do, you know, Black Friday, you get it just to get it. Like, if you've been in my house, I have two ridiculously large TVs, literally right behind me as I speak.
Yeah.
But one, we put money aside so we can ensure that we can afford it.
Well, yeah.
Two, we planned it to make sure that, you know, that's something we value. Like, right. Aileen and I value. It was her idea.
And yeah, there's right. a value in hosting. There's a value in entertainment. There's a value of staying in the same room together, even if you're watching the same, like different things
on two different devices.
Yeah, but you're together.
But you know what? You know, mom and dad, they love it when they're here. They get to watch all kinds of stuff.
They love it. Are you kidding?
But you know what? Well, if we were kids and we started suggesting that kind of shit,
they would have been like, you need to shut the hell up. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, you better.
You're going to sit and watch the same TV together with the rest of us.
Yeah. You know? And you know, I think it scales, right? Frugality scales.
Right.
Right. It's like my car. Right. It's you know, I know it retails for $52K. Mm-hmm. Right. But I didn't get it for $52K because I wanted to buy it used.
Right.
Right. And this will be another episode to begin with to talk about the flex culture of the Philippines or Filipinos in general. Mm-hmm. Right. But like it's such a weird dichotomy. Right. There's such a flex culture, but they're so into saving money. Right. And getting the deal of the century. Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know.
But it's still spending money.
Yeah.
Well, at least really there's nothing wrong with spending money. I think it's the unnecessary spending.
Yeah,
of money.
Or the unnecessary acquisition of things.
Well, again, once in a while is okay. But if it's habitual, that's the issue, right?
I get that.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, you know, and I've been on both sides of this conversation where, oh, I'm getting rid of a desk. Oh, somebody needs a desk. I'll give it to them.
Yeah. Or like, oh, I just bought this mattress like last year, but I have to move and I'm going to get a different mattress or a bigger one. You know, that I get it, right? Yeah. Like you want to pass it down or if it's still in good shape, sure. But I'm not going to pass it down just because it's free and you want it. Mm-hmm. I want to give it to someone who can actually use it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's misguided value, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's they're not putting enough context on the value, right? Yeah. Like saving money isn't necessarily value. You still spent the money, right? And so if you're already in the market for it, or if it's already a direct need, or shit, even if it's a gift and you were planning to do it, you know, like Do I like nice things? Sure. I'm guilty of having a few Gucci pieces myself.
Sure.
Not all of it was paid full price. Actually, in fact, only maybe one piece was paid for full price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is, again, working the system. It's like, you know what? I deserve nice things, or it's my birthday. I'm going to go, this is a milestone birthday. I'm going to buy myself a bag or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also, on top of that, it's got to be something special, mm-hmm. right? Some items can be, okay, like a belt or shoes. Okay, fine. But if I'm going to buy like a cool bag, it's got to be kind of one of a kind.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of spending it, you know, if it's, one, it doesn't make me happy, and two, if it's like everybody else.
Yeah.
Again, nothing wrong with that, but for me, I want something that's a little more unique because
mm-hmm.
I feel like there's more value in that, mm-hmm. and it also reflects me better yeah. that way. But I'll always remember what you and Eileen have always told me. It's like, did you buy it because you want it,
mm-hmm.
or did you buy it because you want people to know you have it?
Yeah.
And that was a bit of a mind-blowing kind of moment for me,
yeah.
especially after working in luxury for so long yeah. for a bit.
Totally.
I understood the quality and the work and the value of said pieces,
mm-hmm.
but some people were just buying it because like, oh, well, this is really expensive. No. I'm like, listen, the cost doesn't equate to style. Cost doesn't equate to any fashion sense.
Because
mm-hmm. let me tell you, there's a bunch of people I'm sure we've all seen.
Or even quality. Let's put that
right,
out there.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we've seen people in head to toe Gucci and it looks really gaudy. Like, just because you spent that much money doesn't mean it's automatically stylish,
yeah.
right? And so, and again, that's just a flex thing. So, because if you are buying it and you look foolish, means you did not think about yourself buying this purchase, buying this item.
You thought,
what are people going to think of me?
Yeah, you thought of everyone else's perception of you, where it's right. like, who cares, right?
Right.
Like, if I were to, like, this mixer that we're playing with here, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people who aren't going to do this thing, if they know how much we spent on it, most people outside of, again, the need, right? Are they in the market? That's like, why would you spend that much?
Well, I mean, but in the same vein, why would any other person who's not into podcasting or whatever actually pay the fees to get on to streaming?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because some people don't find value in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Or my freaking custom computer that I built.
Yeah.
Right? It's just. You know, yeah, it's flexy because it's like really cool parts and stuff, but it's something that I use, I need.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't like it or you think it's ridiculous that I spent that kind of money, that's on you. I don't care.
Right.
Right.
Because they're not the ones using that shit.
Yeah, it's my perceived value.
Right.
Right. So I think, you know, growing up here, we start having a better understanding of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like the microphones that we're using here.
Right.
Right. We don't have the fancy Shure ones. They're super yeah. cool.
We don't have the Rhodes. Yeah. We don't have, you know.
You know, we have a nice little Zoom ZD1. It's fine.
Right.
It works.
It works. It works. Right?
And I got a ridiculous deal off. It was like $29 a mic, something. I think the other side of it is when do you get to be frugal and when do you treat yourself?
Right.
And if you do, what's the extent? And I'll give you an example. Right. My refrigerator ice maker doesn't work anymore.
Uh-huh.
Right. It's going to cost me, you know, a few $100 to fix it.
Yeah.
And this thing was literally made in 2004.
Uh-huh.
Right? The water still works. It yeah. still refrigerates.
Yeah. There's still a water line.
It just doesn't make the ice.
Okay.
Now, do I want to fix it? Maybe I could figure out and fix it because what do I have to lose?
Right. It's not working anyway.
Or I find myself in a situation where I bought my Frigidaire Nuggy ice thing.
Oh, can I just say, I love that thing.
Right.
I did not bring my bottle. That was my mistake. I left it at James's apartment. But I would love to, I always would love to fill it up.
I think it's
all the ice.
So this is kind of an outlier of the rule, right? Do you want to know do you want to have it because you want it? Or do you want people to know you have it? In this case, I kind of both.
I can say that about my Gucci bag, sure. But
and I'm not saying,
I didn't
yeah.
buy it
yeah.
with that premise, but. The compliments are nice.
Yeah, it's not a hard and fast rule, right? And but again, that wasn't the premise of me buying.
Oh shit! I forgot I had pie. I'm gonna eat the pie.
Nice. So like, I would think, yo, it's cheaper for me to buy this countertop Nuggy ice, which is way better quality than the ice maker of my own refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
than to actually go out and fix it. Now you're just flexing the crunch.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Peach mango pie.
Now I love it. You know, it's easy to maintain, easy to clean, so on and so forth. And It's Baller Ice. How dare you, Mark? You're not sharing that with your nephew.
I just gave you $100. What do you want?
He wants a bite. That's all he wants.
Perceived value. Fine.
Exactly. Perceived value. Now you're being that there's frugal and there's cheap. No, you're just being.
Well, to be fair, if I had known they were going to be here this early, I would have bought them pies too.
Well, no, I didn't know either.
We were expecting you guys for not for another what couple hours.
Yeah, at least that. What? Oh yeah, hang on. So let's kind of wrap this up in a bow here, right? So What does it all kind of boil down to, right? What is the actual kind of, as someone who's living as a Filipino American now in this day and age, knowing that we had parents or relatives that would go to somewhat extremes to be frugal, to save money, but at the same time
look like they spend a lot.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
So what can we learn from this? One, like I said before, educate yourself, right? And not just in terms of just traditional schooling. That's a given. That's fine, right?
Learn how to budget. Learn how to watch your money and learn how the flow of your money's coming in, mm-hmm. right?
Or learn a skill. Learn to cook, mm-hmm. right? Learning to cook saves you a ton of money.
Being a photographer saves me a lot of money.
Exactly, right? Or, you know, again, like an old video that we did, I taught you how to do your breaks.
Oh, yeah. It took long, but also I've never done it before, right? It took us a few hours, sure, but it saved me $600.
Mm-hmm. And when we planned it, we were planning to spend the whole day because, yeah, we could do it in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point was for me to teach you how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a long play to save money, right? Like I learned how to fix things. People are like, oh, you can fix this. I do it because, one, I find it fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how stuff works and whatnot, and learn how to fix it. Like one of the TVs we used to have, that thing lasted like 12 years longer than it needed to be because I replaced the board on it. You know, stuff like that where in the name of saving money, I can still have a good quality of life. Right.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, knowing the process, learning the skills, because it's not just, you know, we're always taught to how do we invest? How do we make money and this and that? That's great. How to make money? I think I can never get enough of it.
Right.
But, you know, the spending side, again, knowing the process, knowing simple things like using apps, coupons, or negotiating, you know, it's just those things that can extend what our parents have been trying to teach us.
Right, right, right. And also, they started from a very different place,
yeah.
Financially and financial knowledge-wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure our parents are no dummies. So I'm pretty sure they figured out a few financial products that's worked for them. But, I mean, there's also a vast amount of information out there that maybe they haven't seen, maybe they're not familiar with, maybe they don't even need. Mm-hmm. But point is, let's really look for bigger purchases. I always like to research everything.
Oh, yeah. Right? Same.
Anything. Even if it's just like a equipment. Like, for example, for the booth. You know,
yeah.
I actually found a great website to buy the, you know, the fixtures and stuff like that. And, you know, comparatively speaking, it's the cheapest. But also, they didn't have everything I needed. But they have pretty much, you can run the whole booth just on that one website.
Nice.
And if you are wondering, let me know and I'll let us know in the comments or something, or reach out to me. I'll be happy to let you know where it is. I don't really gatekeep that stuff, but it's also, this is for my personal company. So hit me up personally on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not just free information to go. But, you know, again, right, it's information, understanding, finding a process, learning how to budget, learning
the art of negotiation. Mm-hmm. That's an art I'm not very good at. At least I don't feel like I am. But
I'm not very well versed. I'm well versed enough, right? I can make a fair deal happen, mm-hmm. right? Because you have to understand both sides. But, you know, I think there was a lot to learn from their struggle, right?
Oh, yeah.
Saving this, using this till there's a whole. And your sock's so big, it becomes a leg warmer, you know?
Yeah. But they also, they understand value so much that they're trying to keep it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that line is blurred, right?
Mm-hmm.
And or, you know, sometimes we get attached to things emotionally. There's a lot of factors. I get it. I totally get it. Because, I mean, sometimes I'll have trouble throwing shit away. I get it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Call me out on that. That's fine. But, you know, sometimes it'll take a push that you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It does take a hard conversation to kind of realize, you know, maybe I need to be better with my money or be better with the things that I have, right? Like, it's so easy to, if it was just given to you, it's so easy to just wreck something or destroy something and not care.
Right.
But I think the lesson, another lesson learned is that, you know, our parents literally left everything they had in the Philippines to give us something better.
To me, that is the ultimate financial risk.
Yeah.
The ultimate risk in general to uproot everything you know. I mean, they're, it's not uncommon for people to be very successful in the Philippines and then try to build a life here only to struggle.
Yeah.
And these are doctors, these are teachers, professors, these are scientists and like big, major, smarty pants players.
Yeah.
And then they have to work, you know, like, a minimum wage job?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's strange to me. Like, that's crazy that, like, as qualified as these people are, what is... I don't like the fact that they're not finding the opportunities. Not that... I know they're looking, but to not have access to the same opportunity is... It's wild.
But and see, that's a lot
the struggle
of
it, came from.
But again, that's... It's again, it's educating yourself even to the point of knowing who to talk to. What resources do you have to up the game? They came in here just kind of like, all right, well, here we are. Here's right. America.
Right.
You know, they didn't have, like, for us, you know, we had jobs that, you know, we got hooked up because we knew somebody.
Right.
And we were qualified, but we had the fast track.
Right.
Right. And because we knew somebody or, you know, we made the right relationships happen.
Mm.
Things of that sort. So, you know, I think it's so amazing that the simplicity of, you know, saving bags and again, keeping as much value as possible really does teach you that you got to make the most of what you got.
Right. Right.
Right. And that's a great lesson to learn. And also I think we have to remind ourselves to be mindful of how we spend, to be mindful of what the true value of something that we want is.
Right. And it's okay to treat yourself, but it's got to really make you happy and make sense, right? Because for most people, spending a good amount on, like, I don't know, like a Gucci bag, some people don't find value in that.
Yeah.
I don't, because that's
not my world.
I do and I don't. Like, I do because it makes me happy and it's exciting. And, you know, it's for me, it's like a piece of art or something. You know, there's value in it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is it practical? No. Am I going to do that often?
No.
You know, even if, God willing, I'm like, you know, stupid rich, I'd rather spend it on like the needs of my family or traveling or, you know, like, or helping someone who needs to, you know, go to school or, hey, I need help doing this. I'd much rather help people with it. Donate to, like, you know, the causes and clubs and organizations that I'm a part of. That's what I would love to do. That's really where I find the most value.
Yeah.
Once in a while, sure. Will I go to like buy something fancy once in a while? Sure. Why not? Because it's my birthday. But I'm not going to really do that because I have the money and it's a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That's not practical at any level, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. You know, it's such a fascinating thing to see like our parents when we provide them something a little bit, what they feel is lavish.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're like, I don't know, why'd you spend this much? Like, because we're able to, because you gave us the opportunity to do this.
Yeah, that's what I told mom once. Yeah. It's like, isn't this why you brought us to this country to do better?
Yeah.
And not only are we doing better, but we want to share that with you.
Yeah.
You better believe she was wearing that really nice rare Coach bag when I was, you know?
Yeah, because they would keep it away, right? I mean, yeah, there's people like, you know, this is like, they'll buy that Ferrari they've wanted, but they never drive it because they're scared.
Right.
Enjoy it.
That's fine. If that's a goal of yours, fine. And, but you got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that mom was like, she started to like, to me, it's pretty brave because I know that's a big step for her to.
I agree.
To like, oh man, like this is super fancy. I don't want to ruin it. I was like, And I remember I told her once, I was like, well, if you do ruin it, you know how much fun it is for me to go shopping for her?
Yeah.
You know, I want to get something nice for her. Of course, it's going to be fun. Yeah. Not that she's, God, I hope she doesn't hear that. And then she's going to start like wrecking all these really cute bags that I got her.
She won't. No,
she would never.
No, she would never.
Yeah. Because like I asked her, I was like, Mom, then why did I buy this for you if you were too scared to enjoy it? I don't want to buy it for you if you're too scared to enjoy it. Yeah. Like, I want you to enjoy it because I love you and you deserve these things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, is it practical? No. Is it going to be common? No. You know, like for her birthdays or whatever, if it's something, you know, a milestone thing, or if I have the money, you know, but you know, same with uncles and dads, right? Sometimes they want all the tech stuff or they don't know what to do with it, but
they buy the latest Mac device. They don't know how to use it. They buy the newest iPhone when they don't even know how to turn on their phone.
Right, right. You know? And it's just like, again, educating yourself, right?
Yeah. Now, and the bonus to that is if you are the type of person to buy something because everyone else is buying it, like a Tesla, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they buy it because it's for some, it's a flex, right? It's a sign of wealth and whatnot. But, and if you, Tesla owners will agree with me that, first of all, you know me, I don't like Tesla, but the thing is with that kind of vehicle, there's a lot of great features that comes with it that could be very convenient for someone who commutes a lot, right?
Yeah. And so that's the value they find in it.
Correct. Right? Now, if you buy it just to buy it and then you educate yourself, what happens to that value? It goes higher.
Right.
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 Now that Tesla, which I'll probably judge you on. Just kidding.
I'll do it silently. We are valuable creatures, so we can up the value of anything if we take care of it.
Yeah, but not to the point where we don't utilize it.
But that's not taking care of it. That's putting it away.
Yeah, that's right? That's collecting it.
That's collecting it, right? It's not.
That's the only exception to that rule is that if you're a collector, right? So you know, I think it's amazing how values can be person to person, but it can also always be improved. And it can also, you know, plummet.
Right. 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 Right.
Right. So, you know, I really like this episode. This was an interesting one to talk about because it all kind of sparked from, hey, I'm hungry. I don't want to spend a lot of money, but I don't want to cook either.
Right. And we're like, oh, and the boys are coming home. What can we do as a group to feed all of us? I always say low cost, high impact.
Yes.
And apparently today the Jollibee chicken bucket was low impact, low budget, high impact.
High impact, right? And high crunchy.
Mm.
High crispy.
High in crispy. And you heard it here, folks, earlier.
Jollibee, if you're out there, hit us up. We'll sponsor. We'd like a sponsorship.
We'd be happy to do a spoken ad.
Yeah.
And then even crunch on the microphone.
Crunchylicious, Jollibee-licious, you know, whatever it is. I'm happy to do it.
But anyway, you know, just hold on. Let me think of my sign off really quick. My send off. I had it in my head and I forgot. So for anyone listening, treat yourself. Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Agree.
It makes you happy, right? Like the whole Marie Kondo, does it spark joy? It should at least a little bit, because that means if it sparks joy, it means you really thought about your purchase.
Mm-hmm.
You really thought about what it means to you.
You thought about it for yourself, yeah.
Right. It only means to you, mm-hmm. right? Because I don't give a shit if anyone likes my Gucci bag. Some people say it's ugly, but they don't know fashion. Yeah. But they don't find value in it.
Yeah. And that's their problem.
But yeah. But just spark joy, be smart. And, you know,
buy because you want it, right?
Not because you want people to have it.
Yeah. Right. And like whatever you need to do to save money, I can respect it.
Right.
But not to the point where you're kind of lowering your own standards, lowering your quality of life.
Right.
Right. Like to there was this one where this guy doesn't even use, like, you see this shit on TV where they don't use hot water because it costs money.
Or they'll do their laundry at the same time as they're showering.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, or one of them I saw, they would dumpster dive for their food.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, yeah, it's wrapped in all that shit, but like it's probably also going bad.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, there's a line.
There's always kind of a context to it, right? Like there's very poor areas in the Philippines. I forgot what it was called, but they actually reuse discarded food.
Oh shit. Yeah. I know what that is. It's literally like the bones and stuff. What was that called?
I forgot what it was called. Sure, I'll pause it. I forget what it's called, but you know, it's an extreme form of frugality. And for what it's worth, it's a means of survival for them, right? Now, like I said, that stuff scales up. So, you know, if, you know, you feel like you need to wash the to-go container because you want a nice cheap Tupperware, great. Mm-hmm. And if it breaks, it breaks. Get rid of
it. You didn't invest anything into it.
Exactly. It's run its course, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think once you strike that balance of value to the money that you're spending, mm-hmm. it'll make sense. So hopefully, you know, you found this episode to be pretty useful, or you kind of found things that maybe you do that seem very frugal, but it's very wasteful, like my soda story,
mm-hmm.
right? But there's other, I think the deeper meaning to all this is to ensure our own survival, because that's what our parents went through.
Right, right. It's all about context here too. Mm-hmm. So it's not about, like, again, what's the reason we're buying these things? Mm-hmm. Is it for you or somebody else?
Yeah.
You know?
And what does it bring to your life?
Right.
Or for someone else's benefit? Right, so.
Well, with that said, I'm going to clean up all the scraps we have from Jollibee and call it a night.
Yeah, don't use the dishwasher. It's too expensive.
Oh, but actually.
It's
actually cheaper. But anyway.
It is actually cheaper.
Tell that to your parents and see what happens, because it's actually true. But go ahead and tell them.
You know. But again, it's a matter of survival and whatnot. So, you know, guys, thank you so much for just hanging out with us while we're eating some Jollibee and being mindful of the money that we spend.
You're jealous of the Jollibee.
If you don't have Jollibee where you're at, I'm sorry.
Sucks to suck. Well, this was another episode of
Twin Appropriate Behavior.
So like, comment, subscribe, you know, do all the things.
Yes, all the things. All right. Until hanggang next time.
Oh, that's right. Hanggang next time.
Laters.